We are celebrating a time of renewal together, and we are just starting the series in this month and having as a focus this idea of spiritual renewal and this need that we have. And it really is something wonderful about being a Christian. As those of you who were with us last week, we talked about how the great gift of God to believers is the opportunity to begin anew, not annually, but daily. And I don't know how your life is going or how it went this past week, but I know that I have a need. I have a need not just to start over again with God whenever the calendar turns, but I have a daily need. I have daily needs. Things are going to happen in your life this week, aren't they? They happened this past week. Those interruptions that happened, the unexpected that came across your way, the news that you received, the changes that happened during the week. And we have to come to God again and say, God, I need to start over. God, help me to begin anew this day. Today we are beginning anew as we focus on the Word of God and its place in our daily needs and in our daily opening our lives up to God. I'm going to play a short, very, very brief video clip at this time, if you'll give your attention to the screen. All right, can anybody relate to what just happened in the family dinner scene there? You're sitting around the dinner table. I didn't bring my phone up here with me. How many of you have your phone with you today, right? Okay. All right, turn away. Look up here for... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. This is becoming a real thing that has changed. And many of you may not realize this, but we have a whole generation who are growing up right now. They don't know another reality. They don't know another world, another America before the smartphone. Before this idea of to instantly have a continual flow of news, so much so, I know it's kind of, we have the Will Ferrell video is kind of a joke of that, but not really a stretch at all. And by the way, that there's a series of these videos with the hashtag device-free dinner, all with the hope of trying to get families to sit down at a meal together and be off of their phones or their electronic devices just long enough to be present with one another at a meal. Those of you who are like me right now, who are raising kids in this generation, know that that actually is very hard to do. It's very hard to just pause. Your life has become this way as well. We have the nonstop flow of information thanks to the internet and thanks to emails and phones and text and social media. We have a flow of information that doesn't sleep, that doesn't pause. And it becomes so frenzied sometimes in our lives that we feel an anxiety if we haven't checked our newsfeed or our phone in a certain amount of time. That we actually start to worry that we might miss something if we take a moment away, maybe even just a brief time. Because we don't want to be the one who's left behind whenever news is breaking or whenever something's happening and we feel the need to constantly be in the know. I find this verse from Romans 12, 1 and 2 so refreshing in light of living in the time that we do. Let's look at these words again as we did last week and continue to come back to this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it goes on there, so that you will be able to discern the will of God, the good, perfect, and pleasing will. We are living in a time, and you may not even realize this, but our smartphones and our devices have gotten so smart that when you go to check in on online, when you do a search or something like that, or when you go to Facebook or choose your medium, they are intelligent enough. These mediums are so intelligent that they know what your preferences are. And they will naturally fill your news feed, your information. It's not coming to you unfiltered. It's coming to you already with the slant of they know the things that you like. They know the things that you click. They know the things that you are wanting to hear. And so those are the first things that are going to pop up. We have this conformity that's actually part of the genius of how social media and the information flows in the information age. Because they know if you don't like it, you're going to switch off. And this is a business thing, isn't it? Therefore, they're going to make sure to find new ways and better ways to get you to pay attention. This is becoming such a powerful thing that it's hard sometimes. I mentioned to you that children who are growing up in this generation as they are, it's hard for them to go to sleep at night because their mind is still engaged with what is it that they might miss out. Will their tweet or their post, and I'm saying young people, but this is really, it has no age. It's affecting all of us. That it feeds on this natural human desire, I want to be liked. I want people to care about me. I want them to think that I'm important. And so it starts to consume us. And I heard just recently, one of the original founders of Facebook says that they continue to feel guilt over creating it because they knew what they were creating. Something to consume our time and our attention. Now, this sermon is not a sermon to say that everything about the internet is bad or that technology is bad or anything like that is at all. What it is trying to remind us is that this 2,000-year-old some statement from the Apostle Paul to the church, to the Christians in Rome, is so relevant, isn't it? That we have a whole pattern. We have this whole pattern in our culture, and we're all pulled into it. And even if the internet didn't exist, this would still be a daily challenge and a daily temptation where we're trying to push against the grain. And where so much of the Christian life is when the whole world is going one direction and telling us that this is what's good and telling us that this is what the purpose of life is about. This is what your life should be about. We have to be renewed, don't we? We have to have something. What is it that's going to be able to help us to keep from just following the crowd? What is it that's going to be able to keep us from just having our minds completely consumed with ourselves or consumed with whatever is the material thing or just the worldly thing rather than having our minds in wonder and consumed with the one true and living God? And so we mentioned this last week, and this is what we're talking about today. We need God's Word. We need Scripture. One of the purposes, why this was written down. Why did they write down these things? One of the reasons why these things were written down in Scripture is to help open your ears and your mind and your life up to God. That part of what you're needing in your life every single day is a word from God, to know that God is still speaking to the world today, that God has something to say in your life today, and I promise you that what God has to say is more significant and more life-giving and more wonderful than anything we can get on any other format. That whatever is the latest and greatest, whatever is the most now message that's out there that is so attractive to everybody, still can't offer and tell you what God has to say to your life through His Word. Now, this is a tough thing to get across, living in the age that we're living in. Go ahead and show the next slide there. Whatever it may be that we have. So a recent study says that the average American spends about 11 hours a day in front of a screen. Now, once again, I'm giving a disclaimer here. This does not... And by the way, I don't think that things are going to change for us as far as this stuff goes. I think what this is telling us is that we've got to be that much more intentional and aware with where our eyes are and what we are listening to on a daily basis. Why am I saying this? Because let me just bring you into my life this week. I received an email earlier this week from a parent that was wanting prayers for their child who's in middle school. They just recently received a note in school that the child is struggling with thoughts of whether or not they want to go on living. A child that is doing well in school, seems like on the outside everything is going so well, goes to church, all of those different things, and yet inside feeling like they're all alone, inside feeling like there's no meaning, feeling like there's no significance, feeling like nobody cares. And one of the reasons why God has given us the Scripture is because where else are we going to go? With so many other sources and messages out there, what source is going to tell that person or any human being that they matter, that they were created on purpose, that they were actually designed? God had them in mind. God made them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. The Bible opens up our mind to remember who God is and who we are, and that He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. Listen to some of these refreshing verses about the Bible, about Scripture here. We had this one read earlier from Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. In a world of so many messages, how do we know which one to listen to? We need some illumination here, don't we? Or what about in a world of so many temptations? Every day you're going to face some other thing that's trying to pull at your heart, that's trying to pull at your mind here. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want homework, if you like to have a take-home today, go home and read Psalm 119 again today. If you've read it recently, go back and read it again. And remember, when you read that word law, the literal meaning is instruction, the instruction of God, that God has words to give you life. God has words of meaning for you. Look at this next one here. You're familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16. So many of us have heard this all of our lives. But isn't it, there's something powerful about listening and hearing that God's Word, Scripture, is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active. When you're opening the Bible, you're not just opening a book, are you? It's a treasure source that points us to what really matters. And ultimately, the Bible has a very specific direction that it's trying to point your life. Look at the next verse here. It's all about Jesus. What can God do to grab our attention so that we can see the most significant thing, the most significant relationship person. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, whenever we talk about Scripture and we talk about the Bible, sometimes we can get this false notion, especially when the preacher is going to preach a sermon on the Bible or on Scripture, you may naturally start to feel a sense of guilt. Oh, I didn't do my Bible reading this week. I don't think God... You start to feel this guilt, like, I don't think God is going to like me as much because He knows how many times I missed opening my Bible this week. The Bible is not a measuring stick of faith. What I mean by that is, opening the Bible more, and this is not what the sermon is about today, opening the Bible more will not make you more loved by God. It will not better establish your place in heaven. It doesn't give you, there isn't some kind of pecking order where God is looking through the crowd right now and going, all right, let me see. And He's got His pen out and he's seeing how many of those in the audience here. All right, yes, Jack did all of his Bible reading this week, okay. But CD over here, he missed out a little bit and so he's a little bit further back. The Bible is a measuring stick that merits God's love or your place in heaven. The Bible is the divine revelation of God that opens up who He is, that awakens and stirs us. It doesn't contain the Spirit of God. It stirs the Spirit of God within us, that as we study and as we read and as we talk about and as we listen, something's going on inside of me because this isn't just anybody's book or anybody's message. Because the content isn't just about any random thing, but it's about life matters. It's about the ultimate matters. It's about sin and deliverance. And the ultimate theme of all things here, God revealing in His own Son what love means, what mercy looks like. You know why I need to have the Bible in my life on the regular basis instead of just those news feeds that give me what I want to hear? Because the Bible cuts at me at things that I might rather want to avoid. That the more I open myself up to the message of the gospel and the message, the theme of the Word of God, from all directions, in all places, the more I see things that I'm ignoring in my own heart, in my own life. It was a powerful thing for me this past fall to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if there's another place in the Bible that cuts at me, at Nathan, more than that teaching and those words from Jesus. Because I kept hearing this repeated theme from Him over and over again about what it means to forgive those that you don't want to forgive. To love people that you'd rather avoid. To pray for people that we often try not to care about. And I found myself hearing God speaking to me continually throughout the testimony of those words of Jesus. We don't read the Bible to try to earn God's love or establish His salvation in our lives. We read the Bible so that we can be more open to God, so that we can hear Him more clearly, so that our eyes can see, so that, as Paul said, our minds can be renewed, because everything else in my life is telling me that I'm the center of the universe and God is telling me that Jesus is, and that I need Him at the center of my life. It's about having a renewed relationship. That's why you go to the Word. You go to the Word because you need Jesus in your life. And that's what the Bible is pointing to. Do you want to have a closer relationship with God this year? Are you longing to see your family and your household care more about spiritual things? Then let God's Word become a regular part of your life and of your household. There's a lot of wisdom in Deuteronomy 6 in the verses that following from verse 4 here. An old message that was originally given for that generation of Israel that was inheriting the promised land, and God knew that they would need a continual reminder here. But there's so much wisdom in the way that He says to create space for the Word of God. Because they got distracted when they came into a land with other gods, with other things to give your attention to, with other things to make your life about. And so there was this need for renewal that was put in this teaching here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Listen to how he'll talk about creative ways here to create space for hearing the Word of God, for opening the Word of God in your life. These commandments I give you today are to be on your, what does it say, church? That's where God wants to go. To be on your hearts. Put it in you. Listen, look at what he says here. Impress them on your children. When are we going to find time for this? Talk about them when you sit and when you're home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Bring it home to your life today. When you're riding in the car, this is one of the great times of opportunities that may open up. When you and your kids, or you and your spouse, or you and your friends are talking about what's going on in your life that day, especially if something's happened that's shaking you a little bit, or something's happened that's confused you, or a decision's got to be made in your life, and you're not real sure how to weigh things, that's a window. That's a window. That's a time to open up and say, what does God want? What could He be saying? What would He want us to hear? What would He want us to think in light of whatever's happened in your day that day? Or you have a very busy life. Maybe you have a regular commute and the car can become your space for listening. Put on the Bible on CD or something like that. My life was tremendously blessed because from the time I was very young, we always listened to Christian music. And so I was hearing scriptures being sung on a regular basis. And I would find that they were in me. The words that I was listening to and singing to, just as we sang some of those songs this morning, Otis led for us several songs, hymns this morning that we sang, that were just verses put to music. So you may be saying to yourself, well, reading's not really something that I get a lot out of. I don't really enjoy just opening something and just reading line by line. Well, listen to something or take it and sing it. We had that verse there from Colossians 3:16 that was actually talking about dwelling in the Word of Christ. And one of the ways that you dwell in the Word of Christ is by singing about it. Talking to one another. I was so blessed whenever I was young. Our regular time on a daily basis was when I was a little child and my mother was putting me to bed. She didn't have a Bible in her hand. She'd just start talking about... I'd be talking to her about what was going on in my life. You know, major things that every child, children are going through things every day. Don't make light of them either, because it means the world to them. They have a bully at school, or they have something that they're worried about. They have fears. They have concerns. Speak the words of life into them in those moments. Tell them what you think God would have to say. And let His Word be your resource. Parents, you feel lost sometimes raising your kids? Open the Bible and ask God to help you. Let His Word become the dominant voice in your home life, in your heart life. It's got to be more than just something that you read. It's got to be something that you share. That's why we're talking about these three things together this month: Scripture, prayer, and community. They all go together. It's not enough for you to have a personal devotional life. It's not enough for you to read the Bible on your own each day if you're not opening up about it. If you're not making it a part of the wellspring of your life, in your words, and in your actions. There's a little printout in your bulletins this morning, and one side has the sermon notes, the other side. Find creative ways. This is just something. This is an insert your name from, this is Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. You can do this with so many passages in the Bible where you take the you pronoun and you can put your own name there. What are some different creative ways where you can take your life and the Word of God and intersect the two? Do this exercise this week. Find other ways to do things like this with someone else. Talk to them about a verse that you've been thinking about. Ask questions together. Pray to God to open up your ears and your heart and your mind to His good news and to His life. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now that You would help us, Father, in the world that we live in of so many messages. Help us to hear Your voice above all others. Give us discernment, Lord, so that we can know Your will in our lives. And give us courage to seek it, Father. Thank You for Jesus, Father. Thank You that we have not a book that You've given us, but a person, a living brother, our King, our Savior, to know You and experience You, that You've given us Your Holy Spirit that moves us, that awakens our hearts and our desires, that helps us to know You even more, Father. We pray that Your Spirit would overflow in our hearts as we seek deeper relationship with You, Father, and that You would draw us closer together with other believers. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Parents, I know that you're like me. You have challenges that you deal with every day that make making time for God difficult. Or for our students, you know, it when you've got so many other things and you're not going to get a grade for this. Nobody's going to come up behind you and grade your Bible reading this week or your time of devotion. But don't approach it that way. Don't think about it that way. Instead, see it as making time for God in your life. Take this week and every day, take time to read. If you don't have a daily reading plan, find a daily reading plan. Get a devotional Bible. Find something to be able to aid you so that you will intentionally create space to listen to the Word of God in your daily life. Do it for this whole week. It might be helpful for you to journal it. What did it feel like for you? What difference did it make in your life? The goal that we're learning from this passage from Romans 12, 1 and 2 is that God is changing, that when you open the Word, be prepared for the changes that will happen in your life. Your attitude will change. Your feelings and emotion will change. Feeling God's love and sharing God's love will grow in your life. You're here together with the family of God. You may need prayers this morning. We are together in this. We make this journey together. If you're not a Christian today, we want you to become a part of this family by believing on Jesus as the one and only Son, having your sins washed away and being united with Him in baptism so that His Spirit can come and dwell in you. Or maybe you're a brother or sister in Christ and you're needing to confess the needs of your heart, your life today, struggles in your life. Know that this is a safe space. Know that God hears those prayers and that we find strength in the community of believers together. Let's stand together. And if you have need, come now as we sing.